The beginning of the service, I shared that we were at the International Rabbis Conference, and we went there with an expectation in our hearts to hear from the Lord, to give us direction, to speak to us. We were attentive. We wanted to hear from the Holy Spirit, which he does multiple times. It seems like this year, either we were more attentive or he had more to say. Either way, we were excited to be able to be there and return, having been exhorted on the last day by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. And Rabbi Jonathan is not unknown to you. He's a Messianic rabbi from New Jersey that has been on international stages and has spoken to presidents, plural. His January the 6th or January the 5th or January the 20th, one of those, message to President Biden hit 8 million hits in that day, and the next day YouTube took it down. So it went totally viral around the world, and then it was taken down. So that's what you call cancel culture at its very best. Jonathan is writing another book, and he said that he gets inspiration, the go ahead in this conference, because he's an IAMCS ordained rabbi. We met him in 1994, and then before he was married in 2001 to 2002, we used to dance in the evening sessions in Messiah Conference and kind of take over because we have more kids than anybody else. And he would stand on the side. You could see, and he's easy to see. He has a persona and a beard and all those things and thin. And he actually would stay and watch the kids, our kids, dance the entire time we were there, which told me something about his connection to young people and all those things. We haven't been back to Messiah Conference since, well, Marilyn and I have not been since 2003. The Simpkins have been there a number of times and others from here. So he's always there. His session has to be done in the main auditorium because everybody wants to go hear Jonathan speak. He's a humble man and a sweetheart. And when he comes to speak to us, he's speaking to his own. He's like surrounded by like kind. And so his messages are nothing like what you see on the internet and things like that. They're often much more focused for our joint work together as Messianic rabbis and the things that the Lord gives. And he says often the Lord changes things, which he did. From the evening before, when that Rabbi David Chernoff was speaking, he got something that he had to incorporate, so he had to go back and get things going again. He spoke about the fact that that which has been is now, and that which is to be, and that which is happening has already been, the future. And God requires that which is past, which is our scripture. It's not what he said, but it's our scripture. Then we know that the ends and the beginning are intertwined. Like the Torah, you finish reading and you roll it again and read again. And they're intertwined. So we are back, if you like, we're back in the time of getting close to the return of the Messiah. And so we're back in the days of the book of Acts. And if we are back in the days of the book of Acts, then something is very true. The beginning of the world's Christianity was in the hands of Messianic Jews. It was in the hands of Messianic Jews. And now that this revival is beginning and the Lord is interested in having a harvest throughout the whole world, it should be apparent, it should be evident that there's going to be a special anointing on Messianic Jews to be the ones who carry the torch, to be the ones who be in the front and those things. And he said it in such a way that we were sitting there or standing, Marilyn and I, and the Holy Spirit just moved in, and we feel the kind of anointing. So, no, we're supposed to be relevant. May not look real relevant. You know, may not. I look and there's so many chairs and things like that. And but it there weren't that many at the beginning. It started with 11. And then the as the Spirit gave utterance and the Spirit moved in 120. And from the 11 and the 120, it grew to 3,000 on the first day. And they were being added daily. And that's the kind of revival that we are expecting the Lord to do in the last day. As I was thinking about that and meditating about that, Marilyn offered to drive so that I could spend some time in getting things ready and thinking about things, etc. The thought came, and I was able to develop that thought yesterday. What we need in order to be able to function, in addition to the Holy Spirit, which we understand that we have to be Spirit-led, in the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, it's altogether that Spirit that gives us our power, a dunamis, okay? There's also something else that we need to have, because we've had His Spirit, and we move in His Spirit now. So what else? Is there anything else? Is there another kind of word that helps us to understand what He's about to pour upon us? And the answer to that came from the Scripture. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, this is at the beginning, and He had come to Jerusalem and has spoken to the Sanhedrin, has spoken to the leaders in the crowd that was coming from Nazareth, got together and you know, like parents, we assume that our child is with an uncle, with somebody else, and maybe with the kids praying. And they got a little bit down the road and realized He wasn't there, so He wasn't back. Now, the Scripture details for us that this took some time, that He had stayed in the temple and He was having discussion with all of the leaders. And it was such an intense discussion that they weren't leaving and He wasn't either. And they had this awesome discussion when finally his mom comes in, and as a mom, you're just like, I found Him. And I'm sure in her motherly, sweet way, said to Him, where were you? We missed you, and so on. He replies, I must be about my Father's business. But nothing else is recorded for the next 18 years. We don't hear again until age 30. And here's this verse right here. The verse of the transition between Yeshua having a glimpse of what His ministry is going to be, but embracing the ministry that He has now as a son, as a helper to His Father, to learn the trade of carpentry, and so on. The Scripture records for us in the last verse of Luke chapter 2 that Yeshua kept increasing in wisdom and stature. That stature there is both height and stature spiritually. He kept increasing in wisdom and stature. But then there's this third word there. And in favor. And in favor. Wisdom and stature are awesome characteristics to have. To have God's wisdom and to have a stature before the Lord is awesome. But that was not enough. what it says on, he had to also increase and kept increasing in favor with God. Now, it's hard for me to understand that. He's God's son. Know what I mean? He's deity. Know what I mean? He's part of the Father and everything. So I don't understand that. So it's written for our understanding and to fully comprehend that he was all 100% human. And we humans have to increase in these areas. But there's an area that we have to increase on that is very important. Increasing in favor. Increasing in favor with God and man. And then the book of Luke closes. And it opens in chapter 3. And in chapter 3, he's now 30 years old. Luke himself tells us that he's 30 years old. He's about 30 years old. And then we find him. And now we find the episode at the Jordan where he was immersed, mikvah, and the Father speaks. And the Father says, listen to him. He's special to me. And he should be special to you. And he gets an awesome parental blessing. The Holy Spirit comes in. And the scripture says it descended like a dove and on his shoulder. The voice of the Father spoke. So here you are, the voice of the Father. Nothing else is visible from him, just his voice. The actual Son is quiet. So the Father is speaking, but the Son is quiet. And the Holy Spirit are there. Okay? Deity is present. This is a major event. They all got up from where they were and came to this place. Okay? And from that point forward, Yeshua is going to be in his full-time ministry that is very important to the Father. I believe that the Lord Yeshua, by his Spirit, has been urging us as a congregation anyway that we need to function in his favor. That we need to function in his favor. The word, the Greek word that's translated favor, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, would you like to know what that word is? Charis. Charis. What do you mean? Charismata. Charismaniac, as some would say. Charis, which means literally favor, gift, or joy. All three, but the dictionary, the Greek dictionary, renders charis not first as a gift, but first as favor. Very interesting, because I know that word is important in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 7. These are very critical words for us because the gifts are associated with the Spirit of God. And so we are supposed to function in charis, which is gifts. But first of all, we need to function in charis, which is favor and joy. Now, it's not been a much joyful time in this past 2 years. If we're going to really move forward, this is not in my notes, but you know, I will speak as the Spirit speaks. We need to begin to function in joy. We need to recover the joy. Okay, we need to recover the joy. We need to get excited again. This is an area where Rebbetzin and I feel that we need to improve as a congregation. But I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm pointing it at us. We were about Ocala, coming back on Thursday, when we discussed this and concluded that we must ourselves get out of the funk, get out of the oppression, put those things aside. Thursday was January the 6th. Let me just say that. Thursday was January the 6th. Yes, whoa, that January the 6th began probably the biggest oppression and negativity and anything else that we've known as a body of believers. We, even some that were there on January 6th know that it just didn't go like it was supposed to, that it was intercepted. And the enemy, via whatever branches he used, has had his way, but he will not ultimately have his way. The Lord's going to expose all those things, but until he does, we've got to get out of the shadow of January 6th. It's interesting to us because we're coming to me as I'm making note of what's happening. It's like 1 o'clock. Oh, you get it? Maybe you don't get it. Lori would get it really fine because it was 1:15 when President Trump ended his speech. And it seemed like from that point on in the country, things went backward. And at that time, I'm not trying to be anything here. Just say, this is what happened. I'm reporting on what happened. And we looked at ourselves and said, we have to get out of the funk. We have to put that aside. We have to renew our spirit. We have to become happy again. Because that's what the Lord, the Spirit, wants us to do. Little did I know, at that point, I wasn't thinking about January 6th. It was January 6th. And it was one something. And during the night, I meditated on that. And finally, at some point, sat up in the bed and said, I need to stop thinking about January 6th and start thinking about music. So I started thinking about music for another hour and finally fell asleep at 5 in the morning. The choice that the TLV translators and other translators do too, of favor, incorporates the greater meaning of the word charis. Let me give you that meaning. It's the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. Put that in your spirit. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life of that believer, including gratitude. Now, let me give you some examples. It is interesting to note that Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, we call her Mary, Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, also functioned in that favor. Oh, take a look. Verse 28 of chapter 1 says, and coming to her, the angel said, Shalom, favored one. We've heard it another way. Hail Mary, full of grace. We've heard Hail Mary, okay? Full of grace. That's not incorrect. Charis means grace. But the correct translation is favored one. Adonai is with you. But at the message from the angel, she was perplexed and kept wondering, what kind of greeting is this? What this might be? The angel spoke to her in verse 30 and said, do not be afraid, Miriam. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. Miriam was operating in favor at the precise moment that has been set, the set time, the moment of Yeshua's conception. Can you imagine? This is the point of break away from the past and the evil and all those things. And she is functioning in favor. And because she's functioning in favor, it's the right time. And the angel from the Lord, the angel Gabriel, one of the archangels, comes in and declares it for you and I. Declares that she is in favor. She has found favor with God. Obviously, she was not conscious of her state of favor. She was not like really aware, I am functioning in favor. Oh, hallelujah. You know, she was not. At the time of Yeshua's conception. But once she said, yes, be it done to me according to thy will. From that point forward, she would be well aware and cognizant of her continual favor with Adonai. There will come a time when that favor alone is going to be her strength. Verse 19 in chapter 2. But Miriam treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Because she's beginning this chapter 2, he's 12 years old. She's beginning to understand this is, wow. And she's going to have to rely on God. She doesn't know what, I'm sure not, as a mom, she's not going, oh, well, the Messiah must first be cut off. You know, like, that's not in the daily notes. We see, therefore, that Miriam functioned in the definition I gave you. Miriam is functioning. She treasured all the things, so she's functioning in the divine influence of Adonai upon her heart, how it reflects on her life, and including gratitude. She put aside her frustration that he was there for 3 days, and she was, you know, like, that ever happened to you? Most of you are really great moms and so on, and not happened to you. Some of us dads, it's happened to us. We have been left in charge or watching, and all of a sudden we get distracted, and the next thing we know is, where is he? Or where is she? And now you start running around the house, and there's nowhere in the house, and you go run around the, you know, for us, the first place we go look is in the pool. Not a nice place at that point. Not there. Okay, so where is he or she or both? She's here, so she was also one that would disappear. She would kind of hide or have a little space somewhere where she'd be just quiet and be just absolutely quiet. Not exactly what Dad was wanting to. So, you know, and would not necessarily answer the first time. She would answer, thank God. Oh, you go like, you there. You know, like, I better not think of anything. I've got to focus. You know, and I can't wait for my wife to get back so that I can get back to being normal again. To me, this is a beautiful Torah picture. This is a beautiful besorah. Besorah is a Hebrew word for the good news. A beautiful besorah picture of what a privilege we could be walking in. What a privilege we could be walking in. Can you really grasp the magnitude of the gift of favor from Adonai? If you think about this example, in Hebrew, the corresponding Hebrew word, and you can find that because you can go to the Septuagint, which was written in Koine Greek, okay? And it was a Hebrew scriptures translation. So in the places where it's translated using the word charis, you look at the verse there, and the verse is in Hebrew. So then you go to Hebrew and see what was the word in Hebrew. This is an exact match. This is not the word for charis in Hebrew is chen. Chen. C-H-E-N. Chen. Chen. Like not a hen. It's the same as a hen, but chen, okay? And the other word is Hanan. Hanan. My son's name is Ian. Ian is a Scottish version of John, our John. which comes from the Hebrew. And in the Hebrew, it's Yohanan. Yohanan. Meaning Yo for Yud-Hey. Yo, Yud-Vav. Okay? Yo is Adonai. Adonai is Hanan. Though the is does not show up, you have to understand that the is doesn't show up. It's hidden. So Adonai is Hanan. That's what it means. In other words, Adonai is gracious, right? But the other meaning is a gift from Adonai. I believe that congregation called Simcha has such a gift in John Davis. Can I just, is that okay? Is that okay if I say that? Because it's true. We have a gift from Adonai in the person of John Davis. There are other gifts here. Okay, maybe soon I'll mention others, okay? But today is Yohanan John, a gift from God to Kol Simcha. I want to tell you that the set time has come, the appointed time has come, for Adonai to rise up and favor Zion. So let's read from Psalm 102. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. Right? For the appointed time has come. It is time to show favor. You know what that word is? Chen. Chen. The equivalent of charis. The equivalent of favor in the new covenant. But I also believe this is true for us in Kol Simcha. Based on what we know, if we're coming back to the end times, there has to be a rise up of his messianic body. It has to be an anointing and a favor upon his messianic believers, his messianic people. We're not many. Actually, you know, as I look today, we're even fewer. The reality of it all. But we have more than 12 here. We have more than 12. And so we don't have 120, but we have more than 12. I believe this is true for you and I. Let me give you an example. We are on the third reading of the book of Exodus. The first reading was Parashat Shemot. That was 2 weeks ago. And this week's reading is Parashat Bo, begins in chapter 10. In both of these, the children of Israel also functioned in favor. Let me read it to you. From the first Parashat, on verse 21 of Exodus 3, it says, "Then I shall grant this people favor." Then I shall grant this people favor, hen, in the eyes of the Egyptians. So it will happen that when you go, you will not leave empty-handed. He's telling Moses at the burning bush, I'm going to send you there. Moses is like, I don't know that I should be doing this. I'm going to send you there, and I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to give you and the people favor. And they are not going to come out empty-handed, broke, no money. They're not going to come out that way. Let me jump to chapter 11, verse 3, and chapter 12, verse 36, which are in our parashat today. In verse 3 of chapter 11, it says, Adonai gave the people favor. The word there is chen, in the eyes of the Egyptians. He did do it. Okay? And then in verse 36 is the fulfillment of that. Adonai gave the people hand favor in the eyes of the Egyptians and let them have everything they asked for. You know what the Lord said in the previous chapter, in the chapter? He didn't just tell them, well, just go and ask for alms. Literally, it says, I read it again. I almost preached on this. You're going to go ask the Egyptians for gold and silver, the most precious there is. He is saying it. It's a little tiny chapter, okay, right there before chapter 12. Real tiny chapter. And in that tiny chapter, 11 verses or so, the Lord quotes this right here. And then it says, and in chapter 12, after the Passover, so they plundered the Egyptians. They plundered the Egyptians. What did they take? Not pennies. Not quarters. Not 50 cents. Not Washington bills. Not Hamilton bills, which is what we work on most of the time. And a few might know what is a Benjamin Franklin bill. We are going to operate on gold and silver. And an ounce of gold, would you like to know how much it is? Yes. That's like the... Look. This is talking about us, the children of Israel. This is not talking about somebody else. It's talking about the children of Israel. I'm going to move now. There is an appointed time for us to receive his favor, his chen. And the set time is now. The set time is now. We are to gain favor with him and favor with the people around us. Both. Favor with him and favor with the people around us. That's what Yeshua did for the next 18 years. And that's what we're going to do. You see, our future depends on it. Our success depends on it. Now, how do we gain this favor? Do we get on our knees and beg? Do we crawl on our knees from here to downtown Gainesville? You know, do we sacrifice the wife or the husband? You know, we sacrifice the chicken. What are we going to do? How are we going to get it? How are we going to get it? Well, the Bible tells us how to do it. And here it is. Here it is. It's amazing. My son, do not forget my teaching. The word that's translated teaching there is Torah. Oh, don't you know where I am? Do you know where I am, Joe? Joe knows where I am. Joe's already jumping up and down because he knows his verse is coming. I'm in Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my Torah, but let your heart keep my mitzvot. For length of days and years of life and shalom will they add to you. Let kindness and truth never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you have an iPad in the heart. You can write with a finger in the iPad of your heart. Come on now. Get with me here. Okay, we don't need a chisel. I don't want to touch it because it always goes nuts when I touch it. Then, chapter 4, you will gain favor. Chen. Then you will gain favor. Chen. Then you will gain favor. You will gain a good name in the eyes of God and men. How precise is that to what the scripture we read about Yeshua? I was blown away. So now, Joe, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or in King James Version, he will direct your path. If you go to the Simpkins home, that's their home scripture. That's their family scripture. It's big time when they know I'm in chapter 3. They know, okay? Maybe you don't, but when you go, actually, ask, where is the scripture? Because Stephanie would love to show you how it's displayed in many ways around her home. She wants to make it beautiful and be something exciting. I think we need to get excited. about his favor. We need to get excited to receive his love and favor, which Jonathan prophesied we would be getting. It is more important than money or fame. It is more important than hardly anything I know, especially at this time, because the scripture says that a good name is to be chosen rather than wealth. And grace, that word again, hen. And hen rather than silver or gold. Look, a good name is to be chosen rather than wealth. And hen, which is favor, rather than silver or gold. Even more expensive than rubies even. This is awesome. Favor, sir, saved our people in Persia. When we come back in February to do Purim, okay, we will hear these words. Esther said these words at the such a time as this time. At the such a time as this time, here's what she said. So Queen Esther answered in Esther 7, "If I have found favor, if I have found hen in the eyes of the king, it pleases the king to grant my life. This is my petition. And to spare my people, this is my request." The king, not only had his, but the scepter, she went beyond the scepter. She said, "If I have found hen, what will we do if we found hen? What will we be able to do? To stand before the Ahasuerus of our time." Honest to goodness, we are being led right now by a coalition between Ahasuerus and Antiochus. Right? We don't know about what it was like then, but we can say right now. Okay, this is a coalition. Like Israel has coalition government. The coalition government in the United States is Ahasuerus on one side and Antiochus Epiphanes on the other. The most ruthless and king that there ever was, Ahasuerus, with the most big ego there was, because he declared himself Epiphanes, God in life. Epiphany means the birth of the Almighty. Kidding me? Well, look and see what's been going on since January 20th last year. I want you to treasure his favor. It's not always that it's given to us in such a way as what it is now. And we need to treasure his favor because it's exactly what we need in Kol Simcha. What the missing ingredient was his favor. Don't take it for granted. Because this is part of the last day's revival. We focus on the big man and big thing going to sit here. Well, let's focus on what's actually good about the last days. What's actually good about the last days is that we will have his favor, that we will be successful, that we will bring a lot of people to the kingdom, and that we're going to see Yeshua. Forget the other stuff. Who cares about this man of sin? Who cares about the mark of the beast? Who cares about any of that stuff? It all wanes in comparison. I am convinced that, one, it's his pleasure to give it to us. It's his pleasure to give it to us. And it will, W-I-L-L in uppercase, take us to the next level. It will cause us to delight in him. And when we delight in him, we get what? Psalm 32. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It will keep us in the center of his will. It will result in joy returning in our salvation. Yeshua, that's his name. It will help us live up to our name. people. Kol Simcha, people. The sound of joy, people. The sound of happiness, people. The voice of joy, people. The voice of gladness, people. The voice of happiness. Have we been living to that title in the last 2 years? I would say not so much. Not so much. Okay, so we got a name, and the name means sound of joy. Happy people. We need to start being happy, and we start with me. It started with your rabbi and your Rebbetzin. We decided we're going to be happy. We decided we're going to be happy. And right away, it got tested. It sure did. On Thursday and Friday, it got tested big time. And we are at the conclusion of the week. Now we're into Shabbat, and the moon's standing right there where I'm sitting going, I think you're trying to send me a message. I will rejoice and be glad. Yes, I will. You see, we'll not only call Shabbat a delight and God's most holy day honorable, but we will be His delight. Ooh, we're not only going to call Shabbat the delight, we're going to be His delight. The Lord is going to have a name for Kol Simcha, a delightful congregation. A delightful congregation. I want to close with a song you know. John, there's a smaller of those two songs there. It's not the one they know. Hear the words, and this is very short.
Shalom, tova uracha, chen v'chesed v'rachamim, aleinu ve'al kol, al kol Yisrael amecha. Sim shalom, tova uracha.
Here it is. Now go to the next one, which is the one that recognizes. We're only going to play the first verse through. And let it fade out.
Sim shalom tova uvracha. Sim shalom tova uvracha.
Here it is.
Chen v'chesed v'rachamim. Sim shalom tova uvracha.
Don't stop it, John.
Sim
shalom tova. They want to dance. Please stand. Aleinu, to us, to all Israel, your people. Sim shalom, bring shalom. Again, Aleinu, to us, to all of us, Israel Amecha, your people. Sim, grant shalom. But not just shalom. Grant shalom to all of us. Grant shalom to all of us. Grant us chen. Grant us chesed. To all of us. In your mercies, berachamim. Chen, favor, grace, berachamim, mercy. I believe that's our word. That's our marching order. That's our dance order. This is like the last 3 years. This dance, when we play it, everybody gets up to dance. They can't even stand it. They just got up and danced. You know, this is the Holy Spirit in control right here. Grand shalom. Good shalom to us. Ken, chesed, berachamim, and mercy. Ken, favor. Chesed, grace. Chesed, berachamim. Mercy. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Sim shalom. Sim shalom. Tova uvracha. Hen. Vahesed. Verachamim. Grant us good shalom. Not just shalom. Good shalom. And blessing uvracha. Favor. Grace. And mercy to us, the alcohol, and also to all of Israel. In Yeshua's name, amen.